Hello, and welcome back to SaaS Stories and Sarcasm. We're your hosts, Mary and Brian, and this is episode 156. Brian, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, Mary, although I am starting to get like the beginning of fall vibes, so I don't know how to feel about that. We have made it almost to September, and I don't know when fall officially starts, but
September. You know,
is it in September?
It's like in a month, like September 21st or something like that.
Ah. Okay, well, I officially got those vibes over the weekend. It was not good, you know, it dropped below, what was it, 65, and it was a little bit cloudy. I'm like, oh no, is it even worth going out?
But it's still pretty warm.
The answer is yes, it is still pretty warm, and you know, my standards for what actually is warm and what isn't, I'm sure will drastically change over the next coming months, but, this week, I got to hang out with a couple of your friends, Mary. I'll let you go over that. We had a certain movie-themed party. Mm-hmm. I also, you know, the back-to-work mask mandate, there is a new policy.
Well, it's not just back-to-work. It's all around, Ryan.
Oh, sorry. Well, the in-public areas, I think.
Yeah.
Local, easily accessible public areas, mask mandates come back. So that's something that I'm going to have to worry about because I'm a person that's going into work twice a week. That was not fun getting that news, but whatever is necessary to help fight COVID, you know, you have to just do your part. There is something else that I did that I'm just completely forgetting right now.
Well, I'll just go over what I did then.
Yes, you can go ahead.
So, well, Brian and I both finished Manifest, the TV show, last week, and it was very good. Again, still highly recommend it. And they're also, so the series finished in June and it was canceled, but I guess there's a bunch of, people trying to save Manifest, try to get them a fourth season. So
yeah, it got that'd be popular. Great.
Yeah. It got popular like after it went off air. I'd never heard of it until after the new episodes were finished. But anyways, finish that. Also, like Brian mentioned, my coworker Michelle was having a Holes themed party. It's a 2003 Disney movie, and costumes were encouraged. And so Brian and I dressed up as Stanley Yelnats and Zero, two of the campers. So that was very fun. I used my Cricut to make us some t-shirts, and it was a good cheap costume, and it was fun. And I also went back into the office starting last week. I'm going in 2 days a week, and just a handful of my coworkers are there most days. Last Monday, we had pretty much everyone was in my office, which was nice. Hadn't seen people in person basically for 17 months. So that was pretty, we all like sat around the conference room table with our masks on and we're like, this is really weird. But yeah, ever since then, when I've gone in, it's just like a few people. So it's not quite as, you know, social as it used to be, but you know, it's nice to see people. And yeah, that was my weekly update. Just, I mean, I live really close to where I work, so it hasn't really changed my schedule too much. Just have to put on jeans, got to get up a little bit earlier, put on, you know, work clothes, to dig out my dig out my clothes from the back of my closet that I haven't worn for a year and a half. But there's still less traffic on the commute.
And so, how long is the commute again?
Like 5 or 6 minutes, which is nothing to complain about. Nice. I mean, I think before it was probably like 7 or 8 minutes, but nothing to complain about. I still get home within 10 minutes of getting off work. So it's not bad at all, but yes, it's just an adjustment to not only get back to the office, but all the new like rules. Also, we moved offices during COVID, so it's like a whole new work environment than before COVID. So yeah, that's my update. Did you know the American Heart Association recommends 150 active minutes each week to help with heart health? What if you could earn rewards just for being healthy? That's where Paceline comes in. Paceline is a free app that gives you rewards for exercising 150 minutes per week. Keep up a weekly streak and get even more rewards. Every week of your streak, the rewards vary. You can choose from gift cards from Amazon, Starbucks, Target, and more, to discounts for products or services, and even donations to charitable organizations. Join me on Paceline. To get started, download the free Paceline app, connect it to your activity tracker, and use our referral code SSSPOD to start earning rewards just for being healthy.
Today's episode is brought to you by Audible.
Audible has an unmatched selection of audiobooks with titles from every genre. Audible titles play on nearly any device and allows you to listen to your favorite audiobooks anytime, anywhere.
You can even switch between devices and it'll play from where you left off. SAS Stories and Sarcasm listeners can get a 30-day membership trial that includes one free audiobook of your choice.
Just go to audibletrial.com/SSSpodcast to start your trial and choose your book today. So this week, we're going to go over a wide variety of topics, actually. Everything from the Pfizer vaccine to the Pope playing foosball. And so just listen and you'll hear what else we're talking about. But Brian, do you want to start off with the vaccine news?
Yes. So today, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration approved the first COVID-19 vaccine, the previously known as Pfizer BioNTech COVID-19. This is the one that Yes. So it got a new name. Yeah. So it's now going to be marketed as Comirnaty. Hopefully I'm pronouncing that right.
It's so confusing.
But yes. But that, so if you hear the word Comirnaty or Comirnaty, that's the Pfizer vaccine. And that's because it's now been approved by the USDA for individuals of the age of 16 or older. Originally, and I believe since December 11th, 2020, the Pfizer vaccine had only been available under the EUA, which is the emergency use authorization. I can't even speak today. And that was basically because we were going through a pandemic, and this is just a way that, you know, during an emergency, public the public can now take, you know, drugs that are not fully vetted, but have been, you know, partially vetted. And what's interesting about this is, you know, so the government did their own research and they had about 20,000 people in their case study. And the original research said it was about 95% effective. The government's research said 91% effective. So that's still pretty good. And what's actually interesting about this now is, now that it is no longer under the emergency use authorization and it's, you know, fully FDA approved, now companies can start doing vaccination mandates. You know, I know I think Jay Inslee had some sort of ruling where, you know, if you work for the government, you have to have the vaccine by a certain date or else you risk losing your jobs. And now private companies can also do that now that it is not under an emergency use setting. So that is, that's something to be aware of. I believe, you know, we're starting to see some mandates on vaccines, and I can predict that it's probably only going to increase, probably going to see more mandates on, you have to have some sort of documentation showing you're vaccinated in order to, you know, whether it's just to go into a restaurant or, you know, to work at a certain establishment. So your job could be connected to that. But this is a big deal also because, you know, some people that are hesitant on getting the vaccine, apparently there's some research on how to get these people vaccinated. And 3 out of 10 people that are unvaccinated said they will become vaccinated as soon as this vaccine has been approved. So
that's good.
Hopefully that's more people that will take the shot and reduce the risk of COVID spreading to everyone else around. So yeah, this is a good update. It's good to show that the government is, you know, not necessarily rushing all their research. They made the vaccine available early because we were in a pandemic, but then, you know, that once they concluded their research completely, they, you know, they gave an update on it, and it's safe to use. Everything all indications show that it's safe to use. And, you know, hundreds of thousands of people have taken this vaccine by now. So it's, you know, the proof is out there. So hopefully more people take this vaccine and are able to reduce the spread.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My topic is a little bit different, but it's about a criminal heist, and just not any criminal heist. It's the millennials' obsession with houseplants is linked to criminal heists of wild plants around the world. You know, during the pandemic, lots of people started bringing the outdoors in and, you know, getting lots of houseplants. You know, I already was doing this before COVID, but, you know, I was doing it before. It was really cool. Actually, it was cool before COVID, but more and more people started getting houseplants as they were kind of inside, especially in the cities. But now smugglers are digging up succulents and cacti to meet the soaring demand for houseplants throughout Asia, Europe, and North America. And there's been poaching operations that are surging in South Africa, where almost a third of all succulents are found. So there was actually an American citizen connected to from Los Angeles who was arrested last April after poaching 8,000 species of the Conophytum plant, an endangered succulent native to the region. And he was sentenced to 2 years in jail and barred from entering South Africa again. And then this year, two South Korean poachers were arrested in Cape Town for the illegal possession of 60,000 of the same succulent. And in February 2020, Italian officials raided more than 1,000 poached cactus plants worth approximately $1.2 million on the black market, according to the New York Times. So, you know, the pandemic halted a lot of international travel, but plant smugglers enlisted unemployed South African locals to capture the plants. You know, people are desperate to sell these plants. According to the New York Times, they were then sent the GPS coordinates of rare succulents, which ultimately allowed larger poaching organizations to avoid arrest. Yeah, so many of the succulents that are part of this heist are from, you know, very passionate collectors. So these are not like the succulents and plants that you are seeing at like Trader Joe's or even at most nurseries. Okay. they're much less commonly ending up on a casual hobbyist windowsill. So, you know, you don't have to worry about that. But, you know, the houseplant market has grown tremendously in the last year and a half, but also before that, been growing for about the past 3 years as it became more and more popular. But now people are so desperate that, you know, they're paying huge amounts of money for rare succulents and plants. And so I just thought this was kind of funny.
Yeah. And, you know, I never really realized, I always thought that, you know, all these plants are, you know, like grown in America, but I realized that people actually go across to other countries to, you know, like foreign continents to, you know, poach these plants. I guess it makes sense that a lot of succulents come from Africa because you need, you know, it doesn't need as much rain. And, you know, that's basically the pro of the succulent. You know, you won't kill it if you forget to water it a day.
Yeah, they also say that the increase in illegal succulent poaching has been accelerated by social media's ability to buy or to connect buyers and sellers. So, you know, the internet has just made this much easier, but it's so illegal.
The succulent poaching market.
Yeah, the great houseplant heist. yeah, so I just thought that was a... interesting article. Again, this is not your typical grocery store, Trader Joe's nursery plants. These are the very rare plants for the most part. And most likely if you have plants, they are not the illegal ones. You have to be trying very hard and probably have paid lots of money in order to get that plant that you have.
Okay, good, good. Because the only place I've ever gotten plants are from like pretty much Trader Joe's. So
yeah, me too. So I get most of my plants from Trader Joe's. Basically, whenever I go there, I'm always tempted to get another plant. But yeah. So now, Brian, you're going to talk about a Flintstone house or something?
Yes. Yes. Speaking of other legal matters, this is a story about a homeowner that reached a deal to keep his Flintstone themed house. So technically, the owner of this Flintstone house lives in this posh area in San Francisco. It's like in a suburb. And he settled a lawsuit with the town of Hillsborough, but this agreement will allow Fred Flintstone and his friends to remain on their property. So basically, this is what happened. This retired publishing mogul named Florence Fang, she decided to make a Fred Flintstone themed house, right? And it has all the classic themes of the Flintstones, with the bulbous shaped houses. They're purple and orange. Apparently the city decided that it was an eyesore. And apparently they have lifelike sized dinosaur sculptures.
Okay, well, also, that would kind of, you know, bring house values down in the neighborhood. Yes. So I can understand why people are upset.
Yes, she violated local codes when she put dinosaurs and sculptures in the background, and made other landscaping changes, and the public and local officials called it a public nuisance. But I guess she actually won her case, and she's now able to, she countersued, actually. She was tired of being sued, and she was originally ordered to remove all her features around the multi-million dollar property. So this isn't like a, you know, like a cheapo property. This is a rich person. So she's got the
legal. Well, I mean, if you have the means to buy
create a Flintstone house. Yeah.
Then I think you have the means to have a nice house.
Yeah, exactly. But the moral of the story is she actually countersued, and she now has to basically apply for building permits, and the town is actually going to pay her $125,000.
Now she's going to get more Flintstone.
And she's going to drop her countersuing lawsuit. So who knows what she's going to do with that $125,000.
I know what she's going to do with it. She's going to buy more stuff because a couple
more dinosaurs.
Yeah. Now her neighbors can't complain as much about it because of all of this. So, I feel like she's just going to buy more Flintstone stuff.
Yes. Yeah. So it's a 2,730 square foot home. So it's a pretty big home. And it's all Flintstone. none of it is a normal looking home, pretty much. So
weird.
But she won. She's going to get a living.
Considering that the Flintstones are like cavemen. So yes. It's weird that she has like this mansion. It is a stone house.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes. Or at least it's stone shaped on the outside. I don't know what it is on the inside.
Interesting. I thought you were going to say it's like a mansion, like, and then all of a sudden there's just all this.
A dinosaur in the background.
Ornaments that are Flintstone themed.
No. The entire house is Flintstone themed. The entire outside of the house is Flintstone themed. Hmm. So, yeah. I could just see like a line of like normal looking cookie cutter. Like homes, you know, like with their white paint and everything and their green lawn, and then all of a sudden you see purple and orange and a big dinosaur.
I wonder if she decorates for like Halloween and for Christmas.
She doesn't even have to. It's her whole thing.
Makes the Flintstones wear a Santa hat or puts lights around.
Fun. Yeah, I am sure she does something. She obviously likes this sort of thing, likes decorating her home. So I wouldn't be surprised if she does something for Christmas or Halloween. Cool. So that's this weird news article that I found. I figured I'd share with you guys. But so if you happen to be living in the town of Hillsboro, San Francisco, apparently you have the law on your side when you're able to build whatever you want. You know,
you need to build a stronger rights. HOA.
Yeah. Sometimes HOAs don't even allow you to paint your mailbox or do anything really. Mm-hmm. But apparently not in this town. So everyone move there fast.
Yeah, park a car in the street.
Right.
But okay, well, she found the right neighborhood to live in, I guess.
Yeah, apparently so.
Okay, so now for the last article of this week's episode. Pope Francis, he is a big soccer fan. He is from Argentina, and he is well-known lover of soccer and his beloved San Lorenzo Soccer Club in Buenos Aires. And he was recently gifted a new football-themed toy for soccer, his very own foosball table. And this table was designed to be inclusive and work well for people with physical disabilities to encourage them their participation. And I just thought it was funny that the Pope's
got a foosball table now. I wonder if he's if this is like in his personal, like, where does the Pope live? Like, he lives in the Vatican, right? Like, he lives in probably some fancy building. So I wonder, so that's probably like on his premises. Maybe that'll just be part of the Vatican for all times.
Wake up and play foosball.
Yeah, there you go.
But just thought that was a fun, heartwarming story to end the podcast after a few weird stories.
Yeah. I mean, that's great. I love these stories where you find like, you know, a celebrity or a public figure that, you know, usually is treated with, you know, like a level of seriousness, and here's the Pope playing foosball.
Yeah. So hope you guys all have a great week. Remember to wear your mask while you're indoors and stay safe.
Bye.
Bye.